Good morning once again, and good morning to you folks that are watching from home. We're so thankful to have you joining with us today. We are in Daniel chapter 10 this morning. We're kind of deviating from the Psalms today, and I felt it just compelled to share these thoughts from Daniel 10 in the morning service, and then we will finish the sermon in Daniel chapter 10 this evening. But we are focused today on what I think is the greatest need of the church of the living God in America and the world today, and that is to get really serious and concerned about the need of our prayer life. We see a tremendous example of that here in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel was a man of prayer, and as we go through this today, we're going to see various aspects of his life and what we need to focus on and look at today. If we're going to come back as a nation, it's going to be because God's people are praying hard. And I mean harder than ever before, to use the words of our president. The life and death realities of spiritual warfare. That is our title this morning. The life and death realities of spiritual warfare. I want us to consider this morning and take a few things home with us today and to reflect on them all week long. And that is, there is a war being fought in the air. And our prayer life is a part of that. Our prayer life affects that. Our prayer life, it depends how the battle's going to go. Are the forces of the devil, are his demons going to win? Or are our wonderful angels like Michael and Gabriel going to win? Our prayer life, and this is the second thing, our prayer life is not just the word important. Our prayer life is number two, it is essential. It is essential today. We've got to have a powerful and a strong prayer life today. Let us ask God's help and direction, and we'll jump into Daniel chapter 10 this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord today. We thank you, Lord, for holding off the elements that we can be here. And we ask now in this second service that you might come again in power and glory and help us. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me right now for this message. I need help. I need your help. And I ask for that this morning. And we need to see Christ high and lifted up. We could use a message on prayer every morning when we wake up. Is that important? It's easy to neglect. It's easy to put it aside. It's easy to see that it's, to think that it's not essential. And it is. And so we ask you, Heavenly Father, to just drill it home to our hearts and our minds today. Prayer is essential. We must not neglect it. The war in the air depends on it. Our country depends on it. Our families depend on it. This church depends on it. People who are sick and laid aside depend on it. And so it is essential. And we ask that you would help us to see that today. Use this message to do that. And Lord, may this week be the most powerful week of prayer in all of our lives here at Faith Chapel and anybody else who may be listening in from another church or another place. So we commit it to you, and we ask these blessings and seek your help and your power in Jesus' name. Amen. The main idea of Daniel chapter 10 is that God's people can be assured of the reality of spiritual warfare around them and God's guaranteed victory over all of his enemies. Daniel chapter 10 is a convicting and a haunting chapter of Scripture, as you are going to see. We are forced to ask ourselves some questions. Question number one that we are forced to ask ourselves from Daniel 10 is this: why do I not pray more? And two, why do I not pray with more passion and earnestness? These are the questions that we need to ask ourselves as we consider Daniel chapter 10. We forget, or we've never been made aware of the fact that praying provides spiritual reinforcement for battles that take place against what Ephesians 6:12 says, spiritual wickedness in high places. Our prayer life is essential for the war in the air. It is essential for the angels of God that they may have victory over the forces of the wicked devil. Our prayers are weapons of warfare that provide ammunition for angels as they engage the demonic forces of evil in spiritual combat. There's a war going on, and our prayer life is going to make the difference. Our prayers matter, and they make a difference in the unseen world of spiritual warfare. Over the course of this morning and this evening, we'll look at 4 points from Daniel chapter 10, 2 this morning, 2 this evening. God does not reveal to us everything that we would like Him to reveal to us, but what He does reveal to us is everything that we need to know. Everything we need to know, our God is going to give it to us. Point number one this morning is spiritual warfare involves divine action. Spiritual warfare involves divine action. Verse number one of Daniel 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. The year is about 536 BC. It is the third year of King Cyrus reigning in Persia. That means it is also the third year since he has defeated Babylon, and the last one in Babylon, Belshazzar, as recorded in Daniel chapter 5. This places the events of chapter 10 2 years after the vision of chapter 9. Darius the Mede in chapter 9, verse 1, and King Cyrus of Persia, chapter 10, verse 1, are likely the same person. Darius being a dynastic title and Cyrus a proper name. Darius means he possesses, or rich and kingly. Daniel again gives us this historical marker so that we know where it is and when it took place. It brings us to our first subpoint, letter A, this morning. Each of our 4 points will have 2 subpoints. So first point, spiritual warfare involves divine action. We see in letter A, God reveals His Word. And in parentheses, divine sovereignty. God reveals His Word, parentheses, divine sovereignty. The initiative for all visions that are true is God Himself. There are no visions that are true without God initiating any of that. A message is revealed to Daniel, and we see his name that they gave him there, Belteshazzar. It is a true word from God. There is a phrase in our text that says, but the time appointed was long. What does that mean? That means that the matter was about a great conflict. There is a great conflict going on. This refers to the content of the vision and the spiritual warfare that was involved in Daniel's receiving an answer to his prayer. There's a war going on, the forces of evil against the forces of good, and the forces of evil are even attacking Daniel himself, and he is going to be worn out physically from this spiritual war and conflict as he receives an answer to his prayer. It concerned a great war, and it involves the stress and the suffering that Daniel experiences as he receives this vision. It also includes the severe suffering of the people of God that's going to take place, and this is discussed in chapter 11, 25 or 29 to 35, and chapter 12, verse 1. God takes the initiative to reveal himself and his word to his treasured servant Daniel. Now, we've seen that before a few times. That comes up. God is working with and through Daniel. Daniel is a treasured servant of God. It is a painful but a necessary word from God that he will receive. Subpoint letter B, man seeks to understand, and in parentheses, human responsibility. Man seeks to understand, parentheses, human responsibility. So in subpoint A, we see God's side of it. Now in subpoint B, we see man's side of it. Man seeks to understand. God took the initiative to give Daniel the vision, and Daniel now has to respond to what he's been given. And by now in Daniel's life, we know what he's going to do. He's going to take business seriously. He's been praying hard. He's going to continue to pray hard, and God is going to work with him. So Daniel understood the message, and he has understanding of the vision. Now notice why Daniel had this great understanding. Look at verse number 12 in Daniel chapter 10. Verse number 12, a very important verse. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words, that's his prayers, were heard, and I am come for thy words. I am coming to give you an answer because you humbled yourself before Almighty God, and he has come quickly with an answer for you. God takes the initiative. It is because Daniel was continuing to pray steadfastly. He was passionate in his prayers, and he was humble. He was interested in understanding what God had for him. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. That was Daniel. That is what he did. That is exactly what we need to do. Our prayer lives have got to be ratcheted up right now, today, and every day from here on out. Daniel sought the Lord, and what happens? He gets an answer. The Lord answers. Our God is right here with us this morning, and our God is not silent. We should be very, very thankful that we serve and talk to a God and worship a God who talks back to us. That is what he does. He talks to us through his word. Hopefully we have brought a huge container to be filled this morning, that God can fill our hearts and our souls from His Word. Point number two in our message on Daniel 10, point number two, spiritual warfare requires reinforcements given through prayer and fasting. Spiritual warfare requires reinforcements given through prayer and fasting. Verses 2, 3, and 12. If you were asked to describe this great man Daniel, how would you do that? How would you write that down? How would you phrase it? Well, how about this? Well, Daniel was a man of prayer. He prayed to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He prayed three times a day and got thrown to the lions. He prayed to understand the visions. He prays an awesome prayer of confession for his people Israel in Daniel chapter 9. Now he's at prayer again in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel is a praying machine. Daniel is a praying machine. We need to take that home with us today, and we need to be like Daniel. We need to be a praying machine. Daniel knew we serve a God who listens to the prayers of His beloved children. Here he is again. He's on his knees, and he is pleading with God in prayer. Subpoint letter A, God sees our mourning over our sin. God sees our mourning over our sin. It's a great sign in our lives if we every day, through the day, that we get agitated about our own sin, that we get mad about our own sin, that we look in the mirror and talk to ourselves about our horrible, wicked sin. Why in the world am I still doing this? That's a good sign, because we need to do that. We need to be angry. We need to mourn. We need to pray that God will remove that and get it out of our lives. It says in verses 2 and 3, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. In those days, as clarified by verse number 4, it is the time of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We get a little insight into this in Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Ezra helps us out here in Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, all capitals, the Lord God of heaven, hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Now let's just stop there for a while. Is this big or what? Is this big or what? When's the last time you heard of some king that has all these people in captivity and says, you know what, I think you folks need to go home back to your city, and I think you need to build the walls and build the temple of God. That's like, wow. That's like President Obama saying, now folks, over on the lawn, the great, beautiful green lawn that you can see out of the White House. I want you to build the Holy Name of Jesus Baptist Church over there. I want you to build that and get it done because God has ordered me to do that. Now, of course, you know President Obama wasn't likely to do that, was he? But had he been like Cyrus, had he gotten the word from God, it would have happened. This is big. Verse 3. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel, for he is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. This is big stuff. This is huge. So Cyrus has issued a decree for the Jews to go home to Israel and Jerusalem. Now the number of those Jews that went back, of course, was kind of small, not a whole lot. The number was small, and however, of course, as in everything that God wants to do, there's going to be opposition. And of course, there was opposition immediately in the rebuilding program. Daniel, he remains in Babylon. Daniel's not going to Jerusalem. Probably because he is in his 80s. And in his 80s, he's not a whole lot of good at lifting up big rocks and laying stone and mortar and putting things back together again. But Daniel, he's going to stay there and he's going to pray and pray and pray and pray, which is 1,000,000% more profitable than going back there and mixing mud. So Daniel's going to stay. He's going to remain. He's going to be valuable because of his prayer life. And his heart is heavy, and it is so heavy that he goes into prayer and mourning and fasting for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. And the Bible even goes on to say that he did not use his bodily oils to refresh his parched skin in that very hot climate. Didn't even do that. Everything he did was about prayer to God during this time. You know, for me in these past weeks and months maybe, you know, I've been getting out the O'Keefe's hand cream all the time because my thumbs crack open and my fingers crack open, and so I sit there, and my wife can verify this, I sit there at night and I anoint myself. And I got this one little spot here, it just will not heal. It's a rough little booger. Well, you know, Daniel didn't take care of himself like that. He did not get out the oil, he didn't get out the ointment. He just went to God and he prayed and he prayed. And guess what? God heard his prayer, and that's the key. That's the key in this whole deal. God saw his humiliation and God heard his prayer and answered his prayer. Subpoint letter B, God hears our prayers when they come from a humble heart. God hears our prayers when they come from a humble heart. Verse number 12. Then said he to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. God has seen you humble yourself. He has heard every word that you said. I'm here with an answer. Because of that, God hears our prayers when they come from a humble heart. We see powerful truth here about our prayer lives. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you think that my prayer life was a little better this week? You better believe it. You don't preach this and not do it. That's the deal. That makes me like the politicians. Say one thing and do another. No. Powerful truth. Daniel got serious with God, and God got serious with Daniel. And that's what we're going to have to do in this country right now. That's what it's going to take. It is going to take a massive church-wide revival in this country. I read an article this week about the state of the church in America, and it wasn't real good. I know these things, but when you read about it and read details about it, it's just really not good at all. And so we need God's help badly. And so as we humble ourselves, like Daniel did, and we beseech the face of God, God is going to hear. And right here it says, God heard Daniel's prayer immediately. And God sent an answer immediately. Why? Because Daniel humbled himself before his God. He firmly believed that God is in charge and he is in control of this whole deal. And we have to remember that. God is in control of this whole thing. Everything happening, he's not missing a beat. He sees it all. He needs the soldiers of the cross to intervene in prayer and humility and get before his face about all of these things. He knew, Daniel knew by experience that prayer makes a difference. And he knows there's nowhere else to turn. Where are we going to turn for this mess to be fixed in our country? Are we going to look to flesh and blood? Not going to help. It's to God. To God you go, just like Daniel. Daniel understood divine sovereignty, and he understood human accountability. And he did it. He took care of things. That's what he did. Now, it's one thing to believe that prayer is important. And this is the second thing I said at the beginning of the message. It's another thing to believe that prayer is essential. We have all this out there. Oh, these are the essential workers. When our lives as Christians, prayer is essential. It's not one of those things you can set aside. You know, we can't do what our country and a lot of these governors, they have set aside a lot of essential people. Prayer is essential. It cannot be set aside. God doesn't answer prayers that have not been prayed, and so we must pray, pray, pray like never before. I'm afraid that too many Christians sit around wishing, 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 I wish this would get better. I wish the virus would be done. I wish that everybody could back. I just wish we could get rid of these masks. I just wish, wish. Wishing doesn't help at all. It's going to be God's people praying. That is going to make the difference. Prayer makes the difference. It's essential. Let us believe in the power of prayer, and let us get humble before our great God. Daniel was convinced that certain things would not happen unless he went to his knees in prayer before his God. We need a massive movement of Daniels in the church today. Will you be the Daniel the church needs today? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this great chapter 10 of the book of Daniel. Oh, how we need you. Oh, how we need to pray. We need help to pray. We need help to humble ourselves. We need help to do everything. And we ask for that this morning. We need that help. We're going to need help tomorrow morning to get up and to commit to prayer. And then on Tuesday, we're going to need help again. And every day. And so, Heavenly Father, I ask for help. We ask for help right now. We need help. We ask that you would enable and empower us by thy Holy Spirit to pray more humbly and better than ever before. We want to see people's lives changed, saved, healed. We want to see our nation brought to a place where Jesus Christ is respected and not sought to be gotten rid of. So we need your help. We need help even to pray. May we be the Daniels that our country needs in these days. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.